Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we have been discussing chapter 8, the imperishable Brahman. Obviously, this is the most difficult chapter to grasp and understand and to discuss and to explain. So in the beginning, we have seen that the definitions of the words which are there. And in that, the most important definition was Brahman, that which is aksharam. That which is imperishable is Brahman. Then we say that which is perishable is adhibhutam, that pertaining to this world. We belong to this world, so we belong to the perishable world. But our aspirations are to become imperishable. That's very obvious from all our pursuits in life. We want to keep things as is. We want to keep our situation in control. So our aspirations are to become almighty, all-powerful, maybe in our own situation. But that's everyone's aspiration. So what we are seeking for is actually the aksharam Brahman, knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously. But our world is adhibhutam, this perishable world. Within the perishable world, acting ourselves, we are trying to achieve imperishable. And that's where we are losing the battle. And that's where all our frustrations come in. So the chapter explains what is the nature of imperishable. So the first few verses which you have seen, which basically says that if your goal in life is to achieve a state of being, then you must be meditating upon that state of being. And as simple as that. Whatever I want to achieve, I should be meditating upon. In other words, I should be concentrating, contemplating, identifying, working towards that state of being. But here in our case, we have this dichotomy. We are trying to achieve the imperishable with focusing on all the perishables. And that's where we have a disconnect. So the next few verses explain that. That's like whosoever thinks about whatever the being at the time of the journey, prayanakala, at the end of, that is the being he will achieve. Now this is actually, it seems very abstract, but we know exactly in our life it works exactly that way. Whatever we're thinking to achieve or go at the time of our starting of our endeavor or business or journey, that's where we reach, you know. We can't go to architecture school and expect to come out as a doctor. We know that, but still our mind doesn't grasp that idea that if my goal is to get imperishable state where nobody can bother me, nothing can touch me, nobody can take my happiness away, then I should be focusing on that. So the few verses which you have seen which explains the nature of that which you are saying, Kavim Puranam Anusashitaram. What is the nature of that state which I am trying to achieve consciously, unconsciously? That which is Kavim, all-knowing, basically, you know, Puranam, as we have seen, is ancient. And Santaramji has given it, describes it ancient but always remain new. So, Kavim Puranam Anusashitaram. It has the control over everything. Now, how would we be always be happy and always be in a situation where we don't have to be disappointed? Only if I am Anusasitaram, if I have a control over the world of my things and beings, then I'm in control. As long as somebody else has a control, I lose it. So therefore, he said, that state which you are seeking all the time is actually that of the Brahman, the imperishable. Nature of that is Kavim Puranam Anusasitaram Anoho Aniyam Sam. It's minuter than an atom. In other words, I can't say that that's, oh, it's called Brahman, so it's so big that I will never be able to achieve that. He said, no, it is minuter than minute. And also, Achintya Rupam, Anusmaredyaha Sarvasya Dhataram, Achintya Rupam. I cannot, with my limited intellect and limited mind, can think about its ultimate nature. Aditya Varanam Tamasah Parastat. It is of effulgent like sun, and is beyond any darkness. First of all, if I want to meditate on something or someone or identify, I need to know who that state of being is or who that person is. So this is the description to meditate upon. That state I need to achieve if I want to get out of this limitedness which is creating all my problems, you know. Or this is the state unconsciously I had been striving all my life since my birth, you know. But I just don't have a clear focus on what I want to get. We hear this word all the time. I don't know, he's trying hard, but he doesn't know what he wants in life. How can you be trying so hard? We don't know. That's because we know what we want, but the field of action is completely different. Therefore, it seems like he doesn't know what he's doing. I thought I'm doing the right thing, but in a wrong location, in a wrong field of actions. You know, I know what I want. I want peace of mind. Nobody says, make me restless or unpeaceful. We want peace of mind. How do you want to get a peace of mind? By creating all the agitations. You go on a vacation. Why do you want to give a vacation? Well, we have all our commotion about it. You didn't pack till the last minute. You're not doing this. You're not thought about it. Well, you forgot to get this. How can you get peace in something which creates in the first place? But we still think that that's the way to get the peace. The Bhagavan said, know the nature of that being. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Now basically he said, so at the time of your journey, prayana, journey, that when you start doing something, start making a change. I'm here and I want to go to Hawaii. Well, that's a journey. So as long as I'm here and I'm happy with this, nothing that you have to do. You can be, somebody says, well, why do I have to be spiritual or religious or even to learn all of that? And Swamiji used to say the same thing. My friend, if you are happy the way you are, you don't need to do anything. But because we are not happy the way we are, we always want to become something other than who we are and go someplace else. So we start our endeavors, you know, our efforts for this new journey from here to there. He said, that point, prayana kale manasa achalena. At the time of the death of this state of being, if you have this state of mind, that manasa achalena, the mind should be completely fixed on what I really want after this. Manasa achalena, bhaktya yuktaha. One who is filled with devotion. So now obviously, now we fall into the trap of the connotations of the words which we heard from our childhood. And then we say bhaktya, so the image comes to mind with a folded hand, bowing hand, falling on your knees, that the bhaktya we think about. But it basically says, bhaktya yukto yoga balena cha eva, with this power of his yoga, dhruvo madhi pranam avesya samyak, with the power of his yoga, he focuses his prana into between the two eyes. Now we get completely lost because it basically talks about something which none of us have any experience or any idea how to do it. We have heard yogis, heard yoga teachers talk about it, but We don't know anything about it. Satam param purusam upeti devyam. Such a person will achieve the param purusha. Once we get to this point, we almost give it up and say, it sounds good, but let's not get into this thing. You know? What it basically says is that prayana kala, at the time of my starting of my journey, and now we obviously associate that with the death, because we are always concerned about death. Therefore, we think that the state which is to be achieved, which is that state of Brahman we talked about, the state of being imperishable, state of being ever happy, has to be after the death. We figured out it's not going to happen in this life when I'm still struggling with this world. So it got to be after the death. And therefore we say that must be at the time of death we're talking about. I always say that this death is an hypothetical event in my life, or in anybody's life. That's because the hypothesis we build only when we don't have the direct experience, a direct proof. None of us have a direct experience of a proof of a death. So what we do is hypothesized what the death could be like for me by looking at other people's death. My father died, and all this thing is my hypothesis based on my observations. We also have learned that our observations are limited to our senses only. Our observations cannot go beyond what my senses can perceive. So our observations of a death is the mere observations of a physical death. But then I can consider there's the complete death and say that must be a complete death of a person. In Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta, they continuously keep telling us that the death of a person is not a death of a being. You know. Death of someone is only for the death of the body, which is only the part of my personality, but not me. This is something which I have acquired from this world. Eating this food out of this world made it into my body. But that's not me. When I grow fat, I'm still me, and when I'm thin, I'm still me. That hasn't changed. But I still have come to the conclusion that death of someone's body is the death of a person. Swamiji says here, the prayana kala is when state of this ego, when I want to leave the state of this ego, which is identified with this body, this mind, this I, this intellect. That's the time of the journey. As long as I'm happy with my mind and my intellect and I'm identified with it, there is no journey. I want to be who I am already. So there is no journey. Only thing the death occurs is because I come to conclusion this body is now so feeble and so useless because I can't walk like the other people do. I can climb those mountains. There has always been, we took those excursions, there's always a caution. This requires walking on uneven surface. So those who cannot make, because you know who goes on cruise mostly? Old people. There are people in our cruise which are like 89 and 91. And the people, they're all this, you know, they ask questions, okay, how many are having the 70th, you know, marriage anniversary? And there are quite a few. You know. There are people in the cruise with the oxygen, you know, thing, carrying around the oxygen with them. So obviously there is a... So now when I see this excursion says you can't walk on uneven surface anymore, I thought about it. I don't know whether I can walk on uneven surface with my one repaired leg. So at some point we figure out that I don't think this equipment is good enough to get what I want. Bhagavan says that's actually death of the body only. Mind and intellect, I'm still identified with it. So the next verse says, bhaktya, with devotion. Now devotion, as I said, we come to the mind, you know, folded hand, you know, falling on your knees, your head bowed down, Arjuna's picture or anybody's picture. Bhakti, we have always discussed, bhakti is the devotion. Devotion is the love for the divine. Love is nothing but identification. When my identification grows out of this ego, this is not me. My identification grows with something higher. That's bhaktya. Bhaktya yukta. Yoga balena cheva bhavor madde pranam avesya samyak. With all these pranas, which is all the happenings in my body. As Swamiji always says, pranayama is not swasayama. Prana is not the breath. Pranayama is not swasayama. It's not controlling your breath. That is a technique for something, which is very good for you to get to a next level. But when Bhagavad Gita says pranayama, it is not meaning controlling your breath. It's controlling the every activity in your body. Everything which happens in your body, including the circulatory system, and the digestive system, all that is going on is prana. That which keeps you alive is your prana. Inside, pranam aveshya samyak, keeping them into balance. In other words, not identifying with that. And we said, you focus in your between the two eyes. Basically, symbolically, you're focusing it at one point and not aware of anything which is happening at the physical level. You're identified with the divine, something other than who I am today, and something which I really want to become. I considered myself to be this limited me, but I've now come to a conclusion with my understanding that myself is something much greater than this. And with that identification, I have this devotion for that being. That's the being I want to be. Get out of this limited identification. That's my journey. The journey when I decided that I don't want to be a limited being, this limited ego, I want to be something other than the journey starts. And that's the time this state of mind should be. The next verse says, Yat aksaram veda vido vadante. And what is that being is? He said, Yat aksaram veda vido vadante. The people who know Vedas, people who know Upanishads, in other words, one who has experienced through this Vedas and Upanishads knowledge, they call it aksaram, is imperishable. That state of being of myself, which is imperishable, which people who knows Vedas, they always realize that. Visanti yat yatayaha vitaragaha yat icchantaha brahmacharyam charanti. People who are vitaragaha, one who are detached, without any attachment, without any desires, you know. And yat icchanto brahmacharyam charanti. And those who are self-controlled, the brahmacharya, obviously we have a lot of discussion about the word, but not just the celibacy, but the control over all your actions in life, you know, life of moderation, you know, is a brahmacharya. The people who are self-controlled and living the life of moderation and who are detached from any desires, they enter that state of yadaksaram veda vido vadanti. Tatte padam sangrahena pravakshe. That goal I will declare to you in brief. What journey you should take? Well, you should be very clear about. Once you are clear about the journey, you should be identified with that goal. Once that goal is very clear, I should be devoted to this goal. In other words, I should be completely identifying with that goal. And you say, therefore, tatte padam sangrahan. In brief, I'll once again explain to you, Bhagavan said. And then the last verse which you have seen is actually half of the two verses couplet. Is it sarvadvarani samyamya mano hrudi niruddhyacha murdnya dhaya atmanaha pranam astito yogadharanam. Again continuing into the same set of instruction, sarvada dvarani samyamya. We have seen this body, this indwells, this is called a nine-gated city. This body, the nine-gated city, in the indweller in me is the ruler of this nine-gated city. The nine gates are obviously our senses, eyes, ears, whatever the apertures we have. He said, sarva dvarani samya. With this, I'm doing the transactions with this world, with eyes and ears and tongue. And he said, that I need to close down. All the transaction with this world of perishable being, adibhutam, this transaction is confusing me that this is me. This transaction with this world is confusing me. However, Bhagavan said, even this perishable nature is also mine. I'm imperishable. My nature is to self-knowledge, adhyatma. When I create this bhuta-bhava, that's my work. But once these bhutas are created, they're perishable. They're constantly created and dissolved. I am now part of this bhuta, and therefore I considered myself to be perishable. And my nature is perishable. But the one who is presiding over these changes is that imperishable. Therefore, it's in all the yajnas, all the transactions, I am the receiver of the offerings. So having compiled all that information, I come to the conclusion that the self is alone is acting as this limited ego, as this limited being. But as long as I remain identified with this limited self, I will have these problems of being limited. Therefore, I need to change the identification from this limited self, which seem like is confined in the nine-gated city. We have used the analogy many, many times. Just as this space seems confined in this room, but it's never separated from the universal space. This indweller in this body seem confined in this nine-gated city, but it was never separated from the imperishable self. All I need to do is change identification for this indweller with that imperishable self. So with all that I said, I need to focus and change my identification by sarvadvarani samyamya, by closing all the gates. Mano hrudi niruddhyacha, this mind established in the heart. Now obviously we can talk about that which I considered me is my heart. That which says me, I, is my heart. Focusing this mind into that self which says I. Murdhni adhaya atmanaha pranam astitaho yogadharanam. With this constant practice, establishing prana, that in other words, right now I'm aware of what's happening in my body. Not in a sense that I know where my blood is circulating, but I know that I'm alive. And all that identification with this pranas, I focus at one point as me. And then the next verse we say, what I need to do, omiti ekaksaram brahma, vyaharan mam anusmaran, sa praya prayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gatim. I know Dan will take 13th verse, but it says, having created this situation, in the state of my being that I'm completely focused, I'm not focused on the world of beings, I'm not focused on the world which is happening within me, that the one sense of I focused into one center which I considered I, and then I'll be chanting Om, identifying or indicating the Supreme Self, which is imperishable, which is the Lord of all beings, and then one who leaves this body, Tyajan Deham. Now obviously, it says this deha means this body. But right now my deha truly is my ego. That's where I truly reside. I don't reside in this body. I actually reside in my ego. That which says, this is me. When I leave that ego self and identify with that, Bhagavan says, Satyati Sayati Paramam Gatim. He achieves the highest state. With that, we'll stop here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi. 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 Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.